Many of our musical associations are verbal, sometimes to the point of absurdity. Eating some smoked whitefish, which I adore, earlier in this Christmas season, I heard in my mind, "O come, let us adore him." Now the hymn has become associated with whitefish for me. Often such verbal associations are subconscious and only become explicit after the fact. One correspondent wrote to me about her husband, who, though well able to remember tunes, was unable to recall the words which went with them. Nevertheless, like many people, he might make unconscious verbal associations to the lyrics. For example, she related, "We could have been saying something like, 'Gee, it's getting dark, really early these days.' And, a half minute later, he would start whistling 'The Old Lamplighter,' a fairly obscure song which he has heard just a few times in his life. Obviously, the lyrics are stored in his brain and linked to the music, but are somehow only retrievable through the music without the words." I recently spent several hours with a composer, grilling him about his musical imagery. He finally excused himself and went to the loo. On emerging, he told me that he had heard a song in his head, a song that had been popular 40 years earlier, but that, at first, he could not identify. He then recalled that the first line of the song was, "Only 5 minutes more." I accepted this as a hint from his unconscious, and made sure to keep him only 5 minutes more. Sometimes there are deeper associations which I cannot fathom by myself. The deepest of these I seem to keep, as if by a sort of agreement with my unconscious, for sessions with my analyst, who is encyclopedically musical, and often able to identify the fragmentary and off-key sounds that are sometimes as much as I can reproduce. And, of course, the greatest literary analysis of a musical association is that given by Proust in his deciphering of the little phrase of Vinteuil's that runs through the entire structure of Remembrance of Things Past. But why this incessant search for meaning or interpretation? It is not clear that any art cries out for this, and of all the arts, music surely the least. For while it is the most closely tied to the emotions, music is wholly abstract. It has no formal power of representation whatever. We may go to a play to learn about jealousy, betrayal, vengeance, love. But music, instrumental music, can tell us nothing about these. Music can have wonderful, formal, quasi-mathematical perfection, and it can have heartbreaking tenderness, poignancy, and beauty. Bach, of course, was a master at combining these. But it does not have to have any meaning whatever. One may recall music, give it the life of imagination or even hallucination, simply because one likes it. This is reason enough. Or perhaps there may be no reason at all, as Rodolfo Linas points out. Linas, a neuroscientist at New York University, is especially interested in the interactions of the cortex and the thalamus, which he postulates to underlie consciousness or self, and their interaction with the motor nuclei beneath the cortex, especially the basal ganglia, which he sees as crucial to the production of action patterns for walking, shaving, playing the violin, and so on. He calls the neural embodiments of these action patterns motor tapes. Linas conceives of all mental activities, perceiving, remembering, and imagining, no less than doing, as motor. In his book, Eye of the Vortex, he writes repeatedly of music, mostly of musical performance, but sometimes of that odd form of musical imagery when a song or tune suddenly pops into the mind. The neural processes underlying that which we call creativity have nothing to do with rationality. That is to say, if we look at how the brain generates creativity, we will see that it is not a rational process at all. Creativity is not born out of reasoning. Let us think again of our motor tapes in the basal ganglia. I should like to suggest to you that these nuclei do not always wait for a tape to be called up for use by the thalamocortical system, the self. In fact, The activity in the basal ganglia is running all the time, playing motor patterns and snippets of motor patterns amongst and between themselves. And because of the odd re-entrant inhibitory connectivity amongst and between these nuclei, they seem to act as a continuous, random motor pattern noise generator. Here and there, a pattern or portion of a pattern escapes, without its apparent emotional counterpart, into the context of the thalamocortical system. And suddenly, Linas concludes, you hear a song in your head, or out of seemingly nowhere, find yourself anxious to play tennis. Things sometimes just come to us.